Morris, for the invite to come back. It's good to be back sharing fellowship with you and sharing in the meetings today. Looking forward to coming. It's good to see so many, I better not use the word old friends, but so many friends in the meeting this morning. And it's good to see you and your new fellowship with you. Now, we're turning this morning in the Word of God to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This being Remembrance Sunday, I was wondering what I could use as a launch pad. And my mind turned to a little text. In the midst of a verse in this familiar account this morning. And I want to use that text when we get to it to speak to and encourage God's people who are maybe in a day of trouble and a day of trial. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll read the first 11 verses, and then we'll run down to verse 40 and read through verse 51. For 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Down to 11 and then verse 40. Very familiar this morning. But as I say, there's a little text in the middle of it that I want to use as a launching pad. And the Word of God says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set in the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." And if you've ever been to Israel and been at that valley of Elah, it's not a huge valley that you would expect it to be. It's quite small when you put your mind to it. Verse 4, "And there went out a champion of the camp of Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And of course, it didn't really work out that way, did it? Verse 10. "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now run your eye down to verse 40, please. The verse number 40. And of course, David is now going out to face this giant. And verse 40 says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." You know, just as that dog needed chased away from the people of Israel, so the dogs that come along and try to come into the flock of the assembly of God need chased away as well. Verse 44. "The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Excuse me. Pardon me. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth. What a text that is for a preacher, that the Lord saveth. Not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it will come to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and threw it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And we leave it there, and we know that God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, and indestructible, and incorruptible word of truth. Now let's have a short word of prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for everything that has gone in this meeting this morning. Thank thee for taking time to remember those who gave themselves that we might have our todays. And Lord, we think of the greatest battle ever fought at Calvary, and we thank thee that that's been mentioned this morning already. We thank thee for the hymns that we have sang. But now as we turn to thy word, we would pray that thou would just shut yourself in with us. Help us to set aside the distracting thoughts, and help us to consider and hear what the Lord would say to us this morning, and meet us at the very point of our need. And we ask these things for his sake and for his glory alone. Amen. My text is found there in verse 47. And about two-thirds of the way through the verse is the little phrase, "The battle is the Lord's." And I want to bring the battles that we all face this morning from time to time. Maybe there's a saint of God who's in a time of tribulation and trial and testing this morning. I want you to consider handing it over to the Lord and leaving the battle, that the battle will be the Lord's. Of course, the context this morning, David's about to go out and face this 9-foot-tall giant, a man whose armor was like no one else. We read in verse 5 that he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his shoulders and a target of brass between his shoulders, or upon his legs and between his shoulders. The weight of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And this giant of a man, he's making boasts about what he's going to do. In verse 43, he says, "Unto David, am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves?" And he cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." What an intimidating character this man is. Huge in stature, breathing slaughterings out against David. Of course, he's terrorized the whole nation. A man who the whole nation has refused to fight for 40 days. And then up steps David, a little slip of a lad who couldn't wear Saul's armor, never mind Goliath's. And he approaches the giant armed with nothing more than 5 stones, a sling, and a stave. And in our mind's eye, surely we see that this is an unfair fight. Of course it's an unfair fight. Goliath didn't have a chance. You know, Goliath is coming in the power of the flesh. But David is coming in the name of the Lord. And the battle was the Lord's. And when the Lord's involved, then it was an unfair fight. And David had no worries about what a man could do. Incidentally, why did Goliath take 5 stones? Did he think he was likely to miss with 4? Did he have 4 more as a backup? No. Goliath had 4 brothers. David was ready for the whole lot of them. He was going to face every giant and give them all over to the Lord. And the battle was the Lord's. And so David went into battle confident that this giant was challenging God. And therefore, this was not David's battle, but it was the Lord's battle. And David confidently declares, look at verse 37. He says, David said, moreover, that the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of a lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the paw of this, or the hand of this Philistine. And when we come to verse 45, David goes to the Philistine. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and so on. And he says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. David, facing this giant, as he has done when he faced a lion and a bear, he's depending totally on the Lord. He's saying the battle is the Lord's. And this morning I want to apply that phrase to our lives, to our battles, to our tests, to our trials, and see what the Lord will say to us in the midst of the battle. First thing I want you to see is the situation that David faced. The situation he faces. He's a tyrant before him. This tyrant is massive. He's mean, he's murderous, he's mighty, he's mocking, he's Machiavellian in his subtlety. This giant of a man, he knew that the Philistines versus Israel might well be some sort of a fair fight, but one on one, the odds are totally loaded now in his favor. So he comes seeking to devour. Of course, you and I have a tyrant. And he comes seeking to devour. But brethren and sisters this morning, what a difference it makes when we take our hands off it and we can say, the battle is the Lord. You see the tyrant. Don't you see something of a type in this giant? You see, there's a type of the Satan in some ways. Of course, the devil is more experienced than you. He's more experienced than me. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more intelligent, and he wants our destruction. Of course, in the past, brother and sister, he wanted to take us to a lost eternity. But he's lost that. But now he wants to destroy us and make us ineffective for God. And if he can keep us and make us ineffective and keep us from the place of prayer and keep us from the Word of God, this book that will keep us from sin. And sin will keep us from this book, of course. We need to be involved in it. My brother encouraged you to get to the Bible reading. Get to the Bible reading on Tuesday night. But if the devil can keep us from prayer and keep us from the Word of God, then he can make us ineffective. He really is a tyrant this morning. He's never changed from the Garden of Eden when he deceived Eve and brought down Adam and introduced sin into this world. He is the tyrant of the souls of men this morning. But brethren and sisters this morning, let us remember, we don't wrestle with against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the book of Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us. But brothers and sisters, remember this. No matter what it is we face this week, what lies before us, we can give it over and the battle is the Lord's. You've got the tyrant and the type. Can you see the terror that before him? The prospect of going out to face this giant, to step out into battle, was terrifying. Verse 11, we find that the nation were dismayed and greatly afraid. The nation is terrified of this giant. To every male of that nation to stand out on their own meant certain death. And so it is for any believer that's foolish enough to try and stand up against the devil on his own strength. If he comes to you, you will never beat him on your own. The book of James tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from thee. But we can't resist him on our own. We can't. The first part of that verse is the bit that's often forgotten about. It says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. And brothers and sisters, if we are faced with him in whatever capacity in the week that lies ahead, we must first of all submit ourselves unto the Lord, and then we can resist him in the Lord's strength. To do anything else is foolhardy, and we'll make shipwreck. But the termination comes. You see, this man is saying, if your man loses, then slavery will come, and it would mean serving those who hated them and the loss of freedom. And of course, even today, right down to this day, the first battle Israel ever loses will be a loss of the nation, and it will cease to exist. You see the terrible consequences. The nation, it was grief. But today, for a believer, the consequences of Satan coming into these lives of ours like a flood are grief. In trouble, he'll rob us of our peace. He'll steal our joy, steal our hope. He can make us full of doubts, make us defeated, discouraged, depressed, despondent. We can often then fall into serving sin and lose our effectiveness for God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we see giants in our life, the consequences can be awful. They can rob so much from us. But it doesn't have to be that way this morning. Whatever your circumstance, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, whatever the trial, give it over to God. And then the battle is the Lord. You can see the situation this man faced, and I've labored it. But I want you to see the solutions this man was offered. The solutions David was offered. You see, they had firstly an unspiritual source. Coming from a carnal king. And they came from the flesh and they came from man's way. And how typical that is of you and I at times. When problems come, we get man's answer. And we get man's way. And we get man's way of dealing with something. And it's not God's way at all. And if you look at verse 16, 40 days this tyrant has been standing, proclaiming and wanting a man to fight with him. For 40 days the people of God have been troubled. For 40 days they've had this man, they've had this fear hanging over them. And for 40 days they're finding a man's solution. You know, if Saul had stopped looking to man's way and turned it over to God, he would have realized that the battle was the Lord's and he could have saved himself and the nation 40 days of worry and stress and strain at the hand of this man. You see, the solution, it was an unspiritual source. You can see their unsuitability this morning. How often we seek human answers and solutions to a spiritual problem. Even when a giant is not necessarily spiritual, we don't come to God first. Joseph Scriven's great hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." But brethren and sisters, when we go to him, the battle remains. But in the midst of it, we have his peace. In the midst of a giant storm. Oh, you see their unspiritual source and their unsuitability. Can you see their untimely offering? David is offered the world's methods first. It was only when they were deemed unfit for practice was it suitable and acceptable for him to go God's way. and turn it over to God. How like us all. We'll give them to God as a last resort. I think back 4 or 5 years ago in my own experience, diagnosed with skin cancer. Now, it never robbed me of my peace, but I made a mistake. Upon the diagnosis, the first thing I did was pick the phone up and spoke to Elaine. I went to the wrong person, and no offence to my wife, I love her dearly. First person I should have went to was the Lord. And we need to turn it over to the Lord first. And stop wrestling with the world's solutions. And suffering weeks of worry, and just as the Israelites did. We rather deal with it in ourselves and try and sort something out ourselves and give it to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we face giants in the weeks that lie ahead, and we will, when we face them, let us look to God first. Let us give it to the Lord and seek to make it and give it to him that the battle might be the Lord. Do you see the solutions or the situations he faced? The solutions he offered, the simple faith that David displayed. The simple faith that David displayed. Look at verse 45 and verse 46. And he says how the Philistine come to him. But in the midst of the verse, he says, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." How men defy the Lord today. Puny men shake their fists at the Almighty as if they are something. And puny man, by trying to say that he doesn't exist, that just seems in their mind to make him go away. How sad and how tragic. I trust and pray that those men will come to faith in Christ before it's too late. Because one day if they don't come to Christ in time, in eternity they'll realize there's a God all right, but it'll be too late. Whom thou hast defied. But David says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts." David has absolutely no doubt. He's not going out to this giant thinking, "Well, maybe I will. I might. I could. Possibly." David has absolutely no doubt that this giant, this 9-foot-tall man who's threatening the armies and the people of God, David has no doubt that the Lord will give him into his hand. David was content to turn it over to the Lord. He trusted his God implicitly in the midst of trouble. He believed, he trusted that God would give him the victory over the giant. This morning as I stand before you, there's trouble in my life at the moment. But the challenge to my heart, before I ever come anywhere near you, is do I believe that the battle is the Lord's and he will give the victory? Do I believe Philippians chapter 4:13, or is it just a verse in the scripture? Do I stand in the promise of God that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me? Are we prepared to give him the battle and let him deal with it? Are we going to try and struggle on in our own weakness, in our own flesh, in our own strength? You see the expression of his faith. Can you see the experience of David's faith? You see, David's expression was more than words. David had proved God more than once. In verse 36, he says how he slew both the lion and the bear. And the uncircumcised Philistine was going to be as one of them because he had defied the armies of the living God. To put it in simple Ulster language this morning, David just didn't talk the talk. David walked the walk. He had proven his God in the past. He turned the matter over to him. And he was going to do it again. And for David, that the battle was the Lord's, that was enough for him. What about me this morning? In my circumstance, in my trial, in my test, in my trouble, in my tribulation, am I just going to give it over to God this morning? Am I going to say the battle is the Lord's? Or is it going to remain Martin's and most likely end up in failure? Don't continue to wrestle with the giants in your own strength. Give it to the Lord. But you can see the expression of his faith and the experience of his faith. I want you to see the exercise of David's faith this morning. You see, David both expressed and experienced God's deliverance in the past, as I said. But the reality is this morning, the past belief were not enough for this present situation. And brother and sister, this morning, there's maybe been situations in the past where you've turned them over to God and you've seen him deliver them. But because he did it in the past, because you delivered to him then, that doesn't mean to say you can win the battle in your own strength now. Every fresh trial that comes along, we must turn it over to the Lord. We must give the battle to the Lord. And I wonder this morning, do we exercise faith in every single circumstance and every single problem and let the Lord do what he has to do to give the victory? What a lesson it is. Past victories aren't enough for today's trials. They encourage us, yes, but we must give it to the Lord each time. You know, I meet so many saints talking about their troubles and their trials. And they believe God's able to deal with the giant. But the reality is they simply will not let him, because it's still their battle. Often we'll come to the prayer meeting, or we'll go to the closet and we'll pray, and we'll give it to the Lord. But as soon as we say amen, we'll pick it up and off we go again. And where's the burden? It's still with me. No, brothers and sisters, turn it over to the Lord this morning. Take your hands off it. Stand still and know that the battle is the Lord's, and then see the salvation of God. You can see the situation he faced. You can see the solutions that he was offered. You see the simple faith that he displayed. I want you to see the scoffing of the enemy. The scoffing of the enemy. This man, we see his personal mind. The reality is, Goliath's faith was in himself. I'm the whole cheese. There's nobody like me. The enemy is often high in self-esteem, cocky, confident, arrogant, sneering at the Christian and his perceived weakness. The day the Christian is scoffed more than ever. Equal rights appear everywhere but for the believer. Things are being eroded all over the place. The reality this morning is, if men and women who would scoff at the believer would only understand 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And brothers and sisters, the giant might appear mighty this morning, but remember this, our God is almighty. He's not just mighty. And the fact that he's almighty should be enough for us to give him the battle. You see the personal might of the scoffing enemy? You see how he mentions his gods in verse 43. He says, the Philistine cursed David by his gods. David, or Goliath rather, had not only faith in himself, but he'd faith in his false gods. He had a false hope. And the reality is, this morning, a false hope's worse than no hope. And tragically, so many people, good people, upright people, decent people, have hope in false gods. Doesn't matter in Northern Ireland where it's Catholicism and the priest and the sacraments. On the other side, Protestantism and the infant baptism and infant regeneration. Makes them wetter but not badder. The loyal orders with so many men marching to a lost eternity. And the great scourge and religious giant casting its scourge across the world today is Islam. In reality today, any poor person believing in Allah is, well, his hope's in a false hope. Friends, this morning, let us remember that the gods he mentioned, but they were false gods, but we worship the living and the true God of heaven, the Almighty this morning. His personal might, his mentioned gods, and the mockery he displays, as the world does today. That he said that Christian and biblical values are being eroded. Evolution has been taught in our schools as a fact. And anybody with half a brain would realize that it's the equivalent of a tornado going into a scrapyard and forming a jumbo jet. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand up and be counted in these days, as did the early church and many others. The battle is still the Lord's, but we need to be like David and be available and ready to go and stand. For our personal trials, turn it over to him and stand up against the mocking enemy and be counted confident in Christ. The battle is the Lord's this morning. The situation he faced, the solutions he offered, or he was offered, the simple faith he displayed, the scoffing of the enemy. But then I want you to see the step of faith that David made. You see, David was depending in the face of the enemy. In the face of the giant, he was completely and utterly and only depending on his God who could give him the victory. David is displaying the same faith that the three Hebrew children displayed. Our God is able. And they go into the fiery furnace. But in the midst of the fiery furnace, there's four. The Lord there with them. And they come out, they don't even smell a smoke. The battle was the Lord's. And so I could go on this morning. Daniel in the lion's den, or the den of lions, whichever you prefer. Gideon and his 300 men. Elijah facing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Moses at the Red Sea as he lifts the staff, the rod and the sea parts. Peter looked to the Lord and walked in the water, overcoming the storm. He only began to sink when he got his eyes off the Lord. How Mordecai stood against Haman, and so we could go on. Brethren this morning, sisters, listen, no matter how big the giant, no matter how difficult they are, no matter how impossible it looks this morning, the battle is the Lord's. And David was depending in the face of the enemy. But then David stepped out to face the enemy. You know, there was no point in David believing that the battle's the Lord's. There's no point in David believing that the Lord can deliver him. There's no point in David believing that the Lord will give him a victory if David doesn't take the step of faith and give it over to the Lord and then step out in faith. What about you this morning? What about me? Oh, we believe it all right. We know the Lord's able to deliver. We'll know he's almighty this morning. We'll know he's God. But we won't step out in faith and give it over to him. And we'll hold on to it. And we'll wrestle and battle in our own selves. Our brother, take your hand off it this morning. Give it to the Lord. And deal with it in his strength, not your own. Finally, time's almost gone. The situation he faced, the solutions he was offered, the simple faith he displayed, the scoffing of the enemy, the statement he made, and I want you to see the significance of victory. Firstly, for David himself. David was again proving that God was able to deliver. Even from the most significant of foe, from the greatest of danger, from the greatest of trouble, from the greatest of tyrant, David was proving again to himself that God was able to deliver. And brother and sisters, in your own personal struggle this morning, give it to God and see for yourself that he's able to deliver thee. For the nation, deliverance from fear, the freedom from tyrant, a great victory won, and ultimately a great lesson learned, what the Lord's able to do, and to give it over. For you and I this morning, the greatest lessons are not to face things in our own strength, but to turn them over to God. Not to face them in ourselves, causing ourselves stress and worry. Let it rob our peace and our joy. But by turning it over to God, we realize that our God is bigger than any giant, any mountain, any trouble, or any issue that we might face. And we turn it over to him and realize that the battle is the Lord's. With a simple illustration, I close. Stories told of the world chess champion from Russia many years ago. Now, the fact that he's from Russia, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, and you'll forgive me for that. But he was invited to open an art gallery. He consented to do it, and he took with him a friend. And he did what he had to do. He cut the tape and all the ceremony that he had to go through. And he was asked would he like to see the art gallery, and he consented, and he started to go in. He came to this painting, and he stopped. It was two old men playing chess, and it was called Checkmate. And after a moment, the world champion says, look, go you and look at the rest of the paintings. I want to study this one. His friend did that, and eventually he came back, and the world champion's still studying this picture of two men playing chess. And his friend says to him, what's so interesting about that painting? And the world champion said, well, one of two things. Either they rename the painting or they repaint the painting. That's not checkmate. The king still has one more move. Child of God this morning, no matter how great and how grave and how difficult this morning, our King always has one more move. Give it over to him and let the battle be the Lord's. May the Lord bless these simple thoughts to our hearts this morning.